Hi, this is the Brock and Dave podcast. I'm Brock Yordy, my host here, Dave Bowers. This is episode 3. We're going to talk about how to develop a helper into a driller, into a great driller, good decision maker, and a leader. It's the weekend. It's Friday afternoon. How the heck are you, Dave?
I'm wonderful. Spending my Friday afternoon having some conversation with good friends.
Awesome. We'll have a special guest this week. Derek Good will pop in a little bit. You can hear my dog Hops in the background. He turned 5, so he's being a jerk.
Well, you know what they say about dogs, they will do whatever they can to interrupt you on a podcast.
Yep. At least we're not like that nanny that has to like sneak in while her 2 children like go and crash that. You ever see that where the guy is like speaking to CNN or something and these 2 little kids come in running and then she comes in like crawling on the ground trying to drag them back out?
I have seen that. There's always
Daniel, I'm going to pause
us.
I'm resuming.
All right. So we just had a little delay while my co-host, very unfairly, I might add, went and picked up a delivery of beer from his house, which is great for Friday night. But as you can see, I'm sitting in my office and can't partake in anything. It's really not fair that, he's at his house, hence the background that he uses. And now he's going to have a beer whilst, we have a little conversation. So I don't even have my Wilson mug.
Oh, that's a bad omen. No Wilson mug. That's a bad omen.
I can't drink even a sip of coffee or water or anything, but cheers to you anyway.
Virtual cheers. Proof Brewing, Tallahassee, Florida. It's 5 o'clock here, so, we're able to partake. It's the start of the weekend. I may have a sip. We're going to get into some great conversations. We definitely need to do a craft beer episode of who's got the best water, and that would be an excellent discussion to have for the Bad podcast.
Oh, that would be awesome. And the only way to really know who has the best water is to sample as many different water sources as possible, although they have to be filtered through hops and barley.
You know what? I will come to the Chicagoland area. You pick out 3 or 4. We'll do 15-minute segments, but we got to start with us walking in and saying, excuse me, we need to try your water unfiltered. Start from there.
You always need a baseline, Brock. That is part of the scientific process. We always need a baseline so we know what we're dealing with. So it's a good idea.
I'm only really in the drilling industry because water is the base that we need to make real protective life. And, that's what is that saying? In water, there's bacteria. In water, there's bacteria. In wine, there is headaches. And in beer, there is health and pureness. I butchered that, but.
Well, I understand. You've been drinking now. So, that happens. But anyway, let's get back to the whole purpose of this podcast, why we're here, a conversation about drilling and about drillers and how to become a driller and, where you start. And for me, a great helper will become a driller if he has a couple basic things, right? He's got to feel it's a career so that he has drive to take that next step. Right. Whatever that next step is, you and I have talked a lot about that. You've moved around a lot because there was that next step to find. Right. I took this job because I was looking for that next step, and it was either open my own business, which I was considering at the time, or this came up. And at the time, the economic downturn of 08, 09 had just started, and this opportunity came up. And so I took it because it was the next step, right? The first place that I left there not because I didn't like drilling, I enjoyed working for them. I had learned everything I thought at that time I was going to learn working for them, and I went out looking for someone who knew more than what I knew to learn from. And that's when I, the gentleman that we talked about last podcast, Dominic, that's when I went to work for him, a gentleman with oodles of experience. And that led me to improve. And I think that's really the thing. Somebody has to feel appreciated and that they want to impress, or they want to look good. I never was really that worried about impressing this guy or that guy, but what I can't stand is to look bad. I always hated to look bad, and it happens to every one of us, right? Where we don't do so well in the job, or we have a problem with something. It happens to everybody, but I really, it wounded me to look bad. So I would do everything I could to look, and eventually that led towards them giving the next step because I was putting more effort in.
You know, it's funny how often in this industry I catch somebody at a show and they go, "Well, where are you now, Brock? Who's hired gun are you being this week?" You know, every job I've started with, I thought was the job that I would retire from. You know, and Bayroid in the field was some of the most fun I've ever had in my career. And going through the fluids engineering school with all the oil field guys and then jumping into the field and working with the men and women of Bayroid was a blast. And then the opportunity came to work with Labe Corps and the military, and it came with more money, more responsibility, and the large corporation that was that other corporation couldn't react. You know, and one of the things when we're hiring a new hire, we're going to develop them from a helper into a driller is, you know, their worth, and as they increase and hit milestones, paying that worth, because that's the thing was, I had no intentions of leaving that first job. You know, my father, my grandfather, everybody, you know, I'm that tail end of Gen X, you know, all of the pre-Gen X, you know, boomers and greatest generation, you find a career, you do good, you be loyal to the company, and you retire from there and they'll treat you right. And that has changed. That culture has changed. Our industry is self-taught and tribal. I say that every time we're on this podcast. I say that 10 times a day. Probably not 10 times a day, but...
Hold on, Brian. What are you supposed to do every time you say tribal? All right.
I just won't do that when you say or we'll...
It's not it's right.
It is right. So, you know, in order to learn, as you're developing as any sort of professional in this industry, as I got a grasp to drilling fluids, of course I wanted to know more and more about drilling fluids, but we plateaued, and we've still plateaued in drilling fluids and, you know, earth-shattering technologies. We got some great technologies, but it's not like things, especially NSF standard 60 or 61 things are happening. So then it was try a rig manufacturer and, you know, work with global drilling all the time. After I left that first job, it became what is the greatest opportunity to learn the most possible? You know, and I was gone from Bayroid 11 months and I came back to them Latin America and then of course Jeffco, and now I'm where I'm at, but it was the opportunities, but there is a key piece there of knowing your worth and understanding where the future is leading. That really, like you just said, Dave, that's what a helper wants to know. And that's where step one in this, and I introduced the show as developing a good helper. It's developing a good driller, developing a good assistant.
Right. Oh, and here's the thing. The thing that everyone has to remember is that next step, usually the first little part of that next step, usually right after they get their feet wet, is terrifying. It's how they react to that. Right? I'll say when I started this, the night before I taught my first class, I was a wreck. I was a wreck. I was telling my wife, I don't know what I was thinking, taking this job. I don't even like people, right? I spent my entire career having one or two people that were subordinate to me that worked with me all the time. I don't know that I can do this. I got in the thick of it that next day, started teaching, and then all that fear was gone. But that next step is scary. Don't let that scary hold you back. And everybody thinks, oh, what am I doing? But it's how you handle that slight adversity, and then it'll all come back to you, right? The drive that puts you there will drive you through it. And you know, I think this is a good time for us to ask the opinion of somebody else.
Let's see if I can find somebody.
Okay, let's see if Mr. Good can be a guest. We haven't done this very often, the first time. So here we go. As long as his camera is on, he's connecting. Okay.
So as he's connecting his audio and video, being that you guys are colleagues and the future of training has gone from a helper to a driller to, you know, a trainer. Is he that good? Is good good?
Good is that good. And here's the here is the thing about Derek that I really like. He is a little bit of the yin to my yang, right? I am the fiery, this guy. He's the quiet guy. And you don't know in training, people respond to different things. Some people gravitate to the guy who's more boisterous, and some people won't. He does a really, really good job. And, of course, except for connecting to audio and video, we might do this a different way. I've got plan B in my pocket right now, if need be. But he is the guy that is soft-spoken with something. I'm the guy that's more likely to go, hey, go do this. And depending on what you respond to, right, that is going to work out. The other thing about it is, he has kind of the opposite skill set of me. My majority of the time in the field was geotechnical, geothermal, testing, environmental, doing those things. A little bit of water well, but not a bunch. His lion's share of work is pump work, water well work, all that stuff. So we play well together. He's helping me out with curriculum and stuff to develop more from the water well side. I'm helping him learn more on the geotech and the foundation drilling and that stuff so that what we can do. And I think we're going to go to plan B here in a second.
Well, the beautiful intro that you've been able to do here is it's exactly what we want out of the next generation, the colleague, the assistant, the helper is someone who is our yin to our yang, can question things, can say, why not? Why not try this? That you guys can have that training relationship of being reciprocal of, you know how to do this, I know how to do that. We can trade knowledge, we can be a team to that. And it's very good to hear you say that, Dave, because it's where we need to go.
Well, and this is something that a lot of people don't necessarily subscribe to that they should. Leadership has nothing to do with authority, right? So Derek works with me officially, I suppose, that I'm in charge. But he is not a threat to me because he's talented. He's an asset to me. And that's where a lot of people struggle. A lot of people struggle with, hey, you know, this new helper coming up. I'm going to hold on to my knowledge because if he does good, maybe they don't need me, right? And that's not necessarily the way. Not everybody's that way, but you see it enough. On the water level.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think that because we miss, like, as a proud industry that kicks butt at a lot of stuff, one thing we don't kick butt at is family work life balance. So what happens? Because we don't bestow the knowledge and we can't pass off the stick so that somebody else can finish the day or the job, we miss vacation. We miss high school football games. Because drilling can't stop at 5 o'clock. And so our ignorance in thinking that we can't give anybody else the opportunity, you know, holds us back. If I give all the knowledge I have to my assistant, then my assistant can get to a point of being able to be, you know, better. And I can learn more. And I think you're going to bring Derek in. And you guys, are you guys social distancing?
He's getting a mask right now so that we can be in the same space.
Sure.
Right. So Derek and I, like I said, we work together. And he's kind of the yin to my yang or vice versa. I'm not sure which one's which because I'm not sure what they mean. Either way, he brings to this program a tremendous amount of knowledge. I'll let him introduce himself, but a tremendous amount of knowledge. He's worked for a number of large municipal water well drilling outfits. He's does a lot of pump work or has done a lot of pump work. And what he's been doing lately is developing our advanced, our third and fourth year classes. So we're getting more hands-on pump work and more than the drilling side of it, the stuff that I didn't do in the field. And he's been an asset. So with that, I'll introduce Derek Good. We're going to social distance a little like this. We won't put masks on unless you can't hear us. So we're going to talk loud. And
wait, you're going to talk loud, Dave?
I know it's hard to believe.
Never guess it.
All right. So, Derek, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've been working in the water well industry for going on 21 years. Started out with a mix of a residential and commercial company. So I got a taste of a little bit of both, doing service calls on holidays and emergency things, you know. Everybody takes for granted their water until they don't have it. So I got a good mix with that for about 5 years and then moved on to a big global size company and got more into the municipality side of drilling and learned a lot from some guys that had been in the oil field. Got a lot of knowledge from older guys there that were kind of on their way out and just kind of stayed filled in with pump work in the middle of any of that and just keep busy. And that's the majority of it. About a year ago, Dave got me to come to work here. So I've been helping.
It wasn't easy because the actual job, he was like, yeah, that sounds great. And then I went with, well, you'll be working with me. Right. You know, but all in all, like I said, He's been a pleasure to work with. And you probably have never figured this out, but us redheads, we're known for our calm demeanor. We don't get angry.
No, you don't, Dave. You don't get angry. Just like Mark Ruffalo as the Incredible Hulk, you're just always angry.
That's right. So I've only seen angry Derek once. And the only thing that I could tell, he came in, we have a bus that we use, and he walked up the stairs in the bus, and there was a look in his eye, and I'm like, oh, that's angry Derek. Other than that, couldn't tell anything. Demeanor the same, everything. But now, angry Derek's a little bit scary because I'm going to yell, right? You're going to know I'm angry. Angry Derek could sneak up on you. You wouldn't know.
Anyway. That's much different than your last assistant that just went to the nuclear option every time.
Well, that assistant, believe it or not, is now the head for safety in our organization because he is that good. But he might have a shorter fuse than me, which is hard to believe.
You know what? Sometimes buttons get pushed. There's a lot of steaks on a drilling job and not good, tasty, medium rare steaks. You know, there's a lot of things going on that we gotta be cognizant of. And when we're on the platform and it's the moment of plugging a bit, shanking a bit off, you know, finishing the day at a positive or not, things get changed. It's the fact that when we get off and the rig shuts down, we look each other in the eyes and we go, man, that got a little tense today. And we maybe take a moment to explain why. Or, you know, we get to a point where we're all comfortable and we can know that things are going to get ugly. But then when we get in the truck, we're going to be good and we're going to have a good ride home and we're going to have a good weekend or we're going to have a good evening. And that's the importance of something we got to give to our helpers, our assistants, is that dynamic of the stakes.
Well, and that's what I was going to say is that that's what we're talking about. What makes a helper move? How do you move them up into a driller? What makes them a good helper and that kind of thing?
Well, so go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
And so that's part of it. To understand that the stakes are that high, that in some every drilling job, at some point, every driller at some point, tempers are going to flare a little bit. You're going to be short with somebody, or possibly you raise your voice. You can't tell when I do it, but that's normal and it's okay. A lot of the younger people now today have not been raised in a culture where that happened at all. I was raised by a gentleman who, spent 23 years in the Army, 13 of them as a drill instructor. I wasn't afraid of yelling, right? But some of these young guys have never dealt with, somebody really getting after them. And it may be for their own health. Hey, dude, do not do that or whatever. But they don't know how to process that. And that's something you have to kind of bring them along right now and say, look, there may be times. And the time to do that is prior to it happening. Hey, there may be times I may yell at you or whatever. Understand that anything I tell you is for the betterment of the project and could be for you not to get hurt, and nothing is personal.
You know, so I do think there's time beforehand in the wind, as we're driving and stuff. I feel in my bones that we all can have that red hot moment. And when it's over or we finish the day, then circle back and go, it's not how it should have gone. The stakes got high, it's not personal, like you just said, but that's going to happen. That doesn't mean I don't have your back. Doesn't mean that I don't want you back here on tomorrow morning. It's just those things happen. And I think a good segue into this right now is, Derek, you said you've worked for a couple different companies. I grew up in this industry. So, if I wanted money to go rent Nintendo games, you know, in 1988. You know, I went and, you know, picked up bet night bags and, you know, shoveled the pit and that type of stuff. Tell us when you started and just, you know, obviously you moved from helper to assistant to driller, you know, and now you're a trainer. But just because your last name's good, when did you become good?
I don't know for sure exactly. I mean, I had different guys that I worked with. I was actually originally hired to start with a residential install. First day there, I got sent out with a commercial crew to pull an oil lube turbine, which the guy that I worked with went into the office and said, I'm not letting this guy go. He is my new helper. So I don't know, just because I was willing to just get in there and be a part of it. I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know, you know, never did I have a clue that how messy it was going to be, anything. But, you know, I've done worse for less is, well, the only way that I guess I was kind of raised. Hard work ethic. My grandparents, you know, they've all been in laborious type businesses. And I can remember being a kid and my grandpa roofing the house and my grandma was right there handing them the shingles and doing all the cleanup and all that. It just, I admire that I was raised that way. My dad, strong work ethic, both my parents, you know, we weren't spoiled, but we didn't go without eating or anything. You know, they worked hard and we respected that my dad had the same kind of job. He never knew when he was going to be home because long hours. And so just kind of got bred into me, I guess.
So what do you wish you would have known on day one that you know now? What would you go back and tell yourself?
You just don't realize how fast it's going to get in your blood. This industry, it's a specialized thing and you just can't get it out. I have a younger brother who also got into it and he says the same thing. Like, once it gets into you, you just can't get it out. So it's been good to me. I can't complain. I enjoy the challenges. I enjoy the changes. It's not the same thing every day. It's, you know, today you might be doing some plumbing, you might be doing some electrical, you might be on a rig for a month drilling and dealing with all those challenges. Just like you said, I've had some helpers that we were doing a cathodic well protection project and you know, it was keep the hole open as short as you can and get the cathodic in, and we had to set some plastic casing, and he was a little bit of a jabberjaw, and I just had to kind of get firm with him. Like, when this is casing time, it's casing time. We set it until it's set. There's no stopping in the middle. I need to go to the bathroom. You need to be ready. Well, this is what we're doing because it's go time, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, and now you have new challenges, right? Yes. They're called apprentices. Right. And everyone has them, whether we call them apprentices or they're that new guy on the drill. They're just the person that we're talking about here. And the new challenge is, how do we get through to them for their buy-in? Like you said earlier, Brock, you know, their pay, it raises with their skill level and they have to come here and prove their skill level and do some other things. But you see different levels and you have to find that apprentice. And that's one of the beautiful things about Derek. You know, I know for a fact there are people who walk away and say, Dave's a jerk or whatever. And that's fine. I can live with that. But what makes me happy is that the kid that has that idea of the way I just approached him with something says it to him and he takes it from a different position, and the kid still winds up headed the direction that we wanted him going. And like I said, that's a beautiful thing. I don't have in me to be like him. He isn't like me. I mean, and that's what makes things work. He and I, you've seen us on a drill job together. He and I on a drill job together, we don't have to speak to each other other than to talk about, and this is where you know when you're finally getting to where you should be giving the kid the next step. When you work with somebody you don't speak with other than whatever is crossing your mind or going on a job, because the job is just happening, right? It's just happening. It's being done well. And that's when you know they understand what you're trying to do. And that's when you should give them a little more and show them a little more.
It's crazy because you're absolutely right. It is about clicking and that unspoken communication and knowing what we're going to do next. And part of it comes from good leadership. Part of it comes from saying, you know, these are the steps we're going to take today and getting to a place where we're comfortable. And part of it is the buy-in from our colleague that's going to be in the field that wants to do more. The interesting thing that you guys just said about, you know, we can get through to guys differently is exactly what every company needs to look into. You know, our best driller, our executioner, you know, if we're looking at, the military and you have reconnaissance people, you have snipers, you have hole busters, you have all these different, you know, sets of skills, and they're all important to finishing a system, just different from a driller to an assistant to a helper to the crew that's going to come in and hook it up, or maybe it's the same team, and we all have different jobs. And just because we can get on the step and we can do things perfectly in a drilling conditions doesn't mean that needs to be our trainer. That doesn't need to be the guy or girl that is, you know, training. It comes back to recognizing that we have to develop these people. Our industry has some good paying jobs. It has some not so good paying jobs. And when it comes back to, I can go work at Taco Bell for $17.95 an hour, or I can work $13.50 an hour as I'm trying to get my CDL and do this, and I got to work with a jerk, which direction am I going to go? And we have the gap. The gap is there. You know, we're all three really young for our industry when we go to the conference. You know, and we either figure out, it's not that we're just going to find the golden employees and do well, because they've become the unicorn employee. We have this perception that we're still going to find this dude or dudette that came off the family farm in 1987 and can weld, can do mechanics, can understand equipment, works long hours, can work through the rain and mud, and that's our person, because that universe isn't there anymore.
Well, that person exists. They're inside of that person that you've just hired. It's up to you to find a way to let that person out. First is identifying there are some people that, you know, maybe they're hungry and that's why they're applying for the job. But you can talk to somebody and relatively quickly kind of find, okay, this person wants to make money, but they're hungry for more. Right. You said something about pay. The other pay to look at, and this comes back to your best driller may not be the guy, because maybe he's just the guy driven. I want done, 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 move, 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 move. The guy that you're looking for is the guy who wants that payoff of that kid doing well. We had an apprentice get one of his proficiencies here. He's got three of them now, but he got his coring proficiency, and he's working for a geotech engineering company and working with the owner of the company. And the owner's out there and says, okay, it's all you. You've got the proficiency. Let's see what you've learned. And, you know, he's telling us the story. He goes, well, I was really nervous and this or that. Well, then he knocked it out of the park, though. He was nervous, but he went out, and at that moment, the owner decided, all right, I've got a new guy. I've got a new guy when we get another rig that I can move up, because this guy, this kid who spent the time, he's not a kid, he's in his 20s, he's spent the time, he's done the work, he's come through, he's been trained. But when that kid showed up here 3 years ago, he wasn't that farm kid. He was a kid with drive. And it's up to us. He and I are paid to find that kid you're talking about inside of these other people. They're all there. That farm kid was nothing special. He just got different training as a kid than what we're dealing with now. So we have a little untraining to do to take some of the bad away, because there is some, you know, every kid gets a trophy and this kind of thing, where people maybe are a little softer. But inside of that, if you do a little bit of reprogramming and focus them to a goal and show them when they reach that next step, whatever it is, and you make those steps small enough they can attain them. Once they get to that next step, you reward them, whether it be with pay, with whatever it is that you've determined is the reward, you reward that next step with something. Whenever you've told them, hey, when you can do this, I'm going to give you rig time. As a driller, you can do that. It has nothing to do with pay. You may not have the ability to raise their pay. I'm going to give you rig time when you're doing this well. Hey, but when they do that well, make sure you follow through. You give them the rig time, and that will help drive them forward. It's how this entire apprenticeship that he and I are involved with, it's how it runs. So, you know, they obtain different levels, and they get the reward for it.
So beyond,
we don't have any, yes, sir.
Beyond training from an apprenticeship program, because I've been part of it, my photo in my background is your guys' program with 300 or 400 acres of land. You can see the multi-million dollars worth of cranes, the heavy equipment, the solids control unit, the water truck we got there, the V100. You know, this is Candyland to a young man or woman wanting to be part of our industry. Now let's move to Grants, New Mexico, where everything is a mine and, you know, it's hot and it's nasty and there's a whole lot of other jobs. And we have taken every great thing that we've learned from the apprenticeship program is still out there. It's, you know, what the way you teach, the way Derek teaches, the way I teach is out there. What, Derek, when you went from an assistant to a leadership role, what was your first experience? How did you know you were ready to take the reins?
I mean, it was rocky at first, being the one to make all the decisions. And, you know, the other thing, like I've always told myself, I never want to hurt anybody that's working with me. I never want to have to look their family in the eye and say, you know, this bad happened. So I've always tried to be, you know, my brother's keeper, whatever, just watch out for him. And it weighs a lot of stress on you. You know, you don't realize that when you're just thinking, oh, I want to be the next guy that's going to be in charge. And there's a lot of responsibility with it. Not just to the company, but who you're working with and then the client and everybody. You know, you want to come out of it, do a good job. I always like to tell the guy, whoever you work with, at the end of the day, hey man, nice job today. I really appreciate it. And then sometimes that little bit's just enough that if you're sincere, you mean it, you know, that's, hey, thanks a lot. We battled in the trenches today. You know how it gets out there. It can be a disaster.
And the hardest you'll ever work is that day you get nothing done.
Yeah. Wintertime drilling, you know, you spend the majority of your day getting things going and then you got to drain everything up to keep from freezing. It's, and you're wearing a ton of clothes trying to stay warm. It's just those challenges that.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was talking to a couple of young guys in the industry, and they are in their early 20s, and they were working up north. And I was like, so you guys like what you do? And they go, yeah, it's fun. We're making water come out of the ground. We get to do electrical stuff. We're driving big equipment. There's so many cool things. And I was like, so what do you don't like about it? And the one guy goes, you know what? We get one set of gloves when winter comes, and we're told to go ahead and buy the rest. And I was like, well, it comes back to responsibility, taking care of stuff. And he goes, I agree with that. I agree with that. And you know what? I try to take care of my stuff. And, you know, that's exactly what the owner says, is I can't just give you guys a pallet of gloves. And he goes, you know, the hard part is when I get on these winter jobs, I need two pairs because one gets wet. And I need to be able to put those under the dash so I can go and get back to work. Instead, I throw those under the dash, and then I'm poor performance for the next 2 hours as I'm working without gloves, and it's, you know, it's cold and whatnot. And I work for a family business, and Jordy and Sons, you had as many gloves as you need, right? And we work for big construction companies, or, you know, your section in the industry, and it's a given. All PPE is provided. And then we get into another drilling company, and it's, well, they're just going to leave them in the mud. Or, you know, you get this bad attitude or bad culture that we've promoted. And how simple is it that I was able to hear that out? And if I can hear that, the owner should hear that. You know, I need to, it seems pretty reasonable to have two pairs of gloves. Yeah. You know, and those are things, you know, you said earlier about everybody gets a trophy. That's not our problem. You know, at some point in our industry shifting from making water come out of the ground and doing things great, because we had the greatest generation, and then we had the boomers that then went on and fought the Vietnam War, and we have a ton of great drilling companies, owners, and whatnot, including my father that came back from Vietnam and decided to start companies that are now at their retirement age or already retired. And we had all these big things happening. And then we just had this golden age of, you know, the 80s and 90s. Yeah, some goofy stuff happened, but not crazy things. We got cable TV and the internet, and all of this just great stuff happened that I'm very thankful of being at the tail end of Gen Xers. You know, and then you get into the generation of trophies and whatnot. What did they get? 9/11, a massive depression, the largest amount of divorces out of any point in time, you know, because of internet infidelity and just goofy things happening. And if it comes back to that, everybody in ASO got a trophy, good for them. Because I'm not a psychologist, I'm a drill guy. And if he got his trophy or she got his trophy and they want to jump on this rig and get muddy with me, and they're having fun, and I can show them how cool it is to bring water out of the ground, because there's nothing more rewarding than bringing a resource out of the ground, especially when it's water, because it makes this stuff right here that is not coming into my frame.
No, it's not your. You know what? Here, that's a good thing. We know it's in your hand, but we're avoiding, unless they sponsor, we're avoiding, you know, any product placement. But anyway. What I think that we wind up with that generation is they need something, right? They need to, any generation needed to feel something, feel some work, but they don't necessarily, they've been told for so long, the worth comes from you go to college, or the worth goes here. And they don't push people to the trades. And even if you get pushed into the trades, hey, you know, oh yeah, there's all the trades, and oh, there's those muddy guys over there that are working as well, right? And they kind of do that, and they don't gravitate towards it. That's why the mom-and-pop companies survive and do well and can continue. The competition from the outside isn't as robust as it would be in other industries because no one is pushed to this industry. But that being said, you talked about depression. Right now, depression rates are skyrocketing in 18 to 28-year-olds. And I, you know, like you said, they went through all that 9/11, this, that. But then they were sold a bill of goods. They might have went to college and got out. And drilling, even at a lower cost or a lower wage rate company, could be the best thing that they can find when they were told, well, you go to college and you're going to get this, when reality isn't always that. Not that there's anything wrong with going to college if that's what you want to do, but we've sold it for so long that now – you know, you have people look down to the nose. Oh, this is what you do. Well, hold on. I remember I did a job on the north side of Chicago, northern suburbs. And, you know, everybody that went by looked at us like we were, you know, had three heads or something because we were muddy. And we, and, you know, it got to the point where you're like, you know, this is an actual clean job that is clean, not because I'm muddy, but I have dignity in my work. And that's what we can, that's what we're selling, right? We're selling the water coming out of the ground. We're selling to the customer, but to our employees, we're selling the dignity of this work. Because when you start, there's nothing there. When you're done, you've got water coming out of the ground, or you provided data to an engineer, or you've got something for an environmental company that you put a monitoring well in, or you've got a cathodic protection well, but there's something there. You've made something, you've made a difference when you leave. So all your labor then has dignity. And if you can't sell somebody on the dignity of their labor, then there's something majorly wrong with them. So not everybody. Go ahead.
I have a sticky note on my laptop that says, be the leader everybody wants to work with. Be the company everybody wants to work for. And I know the magic that comes out of the ground. I can talk about that and show that to them. Transitioning from the field to a place of developing people and allowing them to do that changes, right? Now I need to have enjoyment in knowing that my people enjoy working. You know, that they're there. Just like Derek said earlier about saying, you know, you did a good job today, guys. You know, that's no different than everybody getting the trophy. You know, it's your depression comment. You're absolutely right. We are at a point where we have to shift the culture of our industry in developing the people we want, because we don't have people just jumping up and down to want to come in here. And we don't want it to be, I guess I'll be a well driller because it's the only job available right now. It's got to be, I have an opportunity to drive big, cool equipment, make water come out of the ground, and enjoy what I'm doing. And that means our industry stop being shade tree mechanics and dumb roughnecks and show we need people. This is where we need to go. And look at the mental aspect of it. Because when we have the injuries, we have the failures on the jobs, that worst job possible is the job we get nothing done on. Instead of when they come in and they're upset, go, all right, what happened? and then go, you know what, guys, we're going to have jobs like that. Can we learn from it? Because 30-year-old Brock really took it personal when we didn't get something done right. And 35-year-old Brock, same thing. Damn it, we knew our job. We needed to do it. And I'm finally hitting the point where I can shelf my inner driller and I can be a leader. And I can go, tomorrow's another day. We can do this. And you know what? As a leader, if we have 5, 10, 20 bad days in 2 quarters of things getting bad, then as the leader, it's my turn to shift who's the leadership in the field, who's making the bad decisions impacting the job. It's not theirs. I set them up to fail if I don't give them the right leadership and the right tools. You know, and if they got a bad attitude, that's when we have to say. You know, so I, from both of you guys, tell me about a bad day and how it turned out.
You want to go first? Or okay. All right. The worst day that, and actually it turned out not so bad. The worst day I ever had has a backstory. Surprise, surprise, right? I left on vacation, the only 2-week vacation I ever took with my family. We went to Disney World. I got a call the second day of the vacation that they stuck 700 feet of casing in Louisiana, Missouri, just across the river from Illinois. So I said, okay, I give them a few options. Well, Bort has an office in St. Louis. They may have a sonic rig, see if you can get them. I give them a number of options, and I finished my vacation. I got back and asked the day I got back, hey, whatever happened with the casing, you get it out? And this was the response I got. They said, wait for you, and you would get it. So I'm like, okay. Geotech company. So I wound up going out with a 300-pound hammer. And my helper and myself back-pounded casing for 24 hours in 98-degree heat. And the first time I hit it, I had an inside cutter. I fully intended when we drove out there, I'm going to go out there. We're going to pound on it. It's not going to move. I'm going to cut it off 30, 40 feet down, salvage what I can, grout it, and leave. And it did the worst thing possible. When I showed up, I set over top it, and I started to back pound. It moved. It moved about a half of an inch. And then I pounded it back down a quarter of an inch. And then I pounded it back up a half an inch and pounded it back down a quarter of an inch. And I was afraid I was going to burn through too many through the ropes. So I had my helper spraying water on the cat head. It's 98 degrees outside. The cat head's boiling hot, boiling water flying off it. And I am pounding up and down, up and down, up and down. And I am gaining every time that we do it. But I believe that if my memory serves me correctly, we were at 120 feet when it finally broke free. So we had roughly 550 feet of one inch down, half inch up, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth, until it came free. But one of the things that made me a good driller and I struggle with as a trainer is I'm stubborn and I'm tenacious, right? So there was no way when it moved, I wasn't going to win. But, we worked. That day, I think we wound up working 18 hours and I think 6 or 7 hours the following day to get it out before we grouted, did all that, you know. And there wasn't a dime to be made on that job. There was no money for fishing. As all fishing jobs, when you're fishing, you're losing money, and it was not a fun. That was a rough one. Like I said, the hardest that you ever work. You don't have a whole lot to show for it. But at the end of the day, that one turned out because we got all our casing out. Didn't even wind up taking the shoe off it. Shoe was on it when we got it back. So I guess that one worked out pretty well. Derek?
I've had tough days. Probably one of the worst days. We were doing a cement job on 1,500 feet of casing in the middle of Iowa. And we had our own cement pump truck and bulk truck kind of set up like the oil field, cementing through the 2 7/8 upset tubing through the bottom of the casing. And if it could go wrong, it did go wrong. It was just plumbing failing that shouldn't have failed on the surface, and battling that in the midst of, Portland cement. You're pretty much covered head to toe in Portland cement, trying to get this well cemented because you know you want to get the return so that you've got a good cement job on it. Just thinking like, if we don't get a good cement job and then you're trying to trim me in the outside of it, how good of a product am I giving these people at the end of this? So my brother was on the job with us, and I can remember him talking to the tool pusher at the end of the job. We battled through it. We got a return. We had stuff tore apart and rigged together to get the job done. And we were both just covered head to toe. And he says to the tool pusher, "I just hate cement day. I just hate cement day. It's just a nightmare." Cause cement day tensions are already high because everybody knows what's at stake. So it's thick air. You could cut it with a knife and then you just add anything that could fail above the ground seemed to happen. And, it was just a trying day. How about yourself?
I've had some tough projects where we've, grouted shut a new 500 foot roll of trimmy and field testing for barreling, or working out in the Western U.S. where, the senior person was a bully trying to show that we can work 19 hour days and then have 3 hours of sleep and do it again for the wrong, reasons. To be honest, my worst days have never been drilling induced. There's always been a solution. There's always been a phone that I've been able to pick up. There's been times I've called Dave and asked for, where do I find a terminator? I've always had an ally to call to get a solution to a bad day. The bad days that I haven't been able to resolve have been leadership induced, from a toxic culture of the VP of drilling, summoning their inner driller and saying that, well, if I was there, we would have done this or that, not knowing. Mind you, competency wise, I feel that I can find a solution. It's when you don't feel trusted, or somebody is just straight nasty. Those are the bad days that I haven't been able to recover from. And, Dave started our conversation today about this, and those are the days that I look at the situation and I say, this is the wrong company for me, including my fluids engineering career. They went through a big situation of trying to merge. And in their situation of trying to merge, they cut a bunch of product lines. And a lot of people with a lot of loyalty, lost their jobs. And the VP of that company became the leader of the entire company. And during COVID, he bragged about cutting the most out of any other, you know, large company in the country during the oil field. And if you ever get a chance, Simon Sinek has a book called Leaders Eat Last. He's got one called Start With Why, and then The Infinity Game. And The Infinity Game is 100% about, we're not playing to the end of the week or the end of the job or the end of the quarter. We're playing for keeps, forever. It's not about how 2020 turns out, because we know 2020 is junk. It's about how the next 4 years turn out and we sustain and grow, and the people we have are the people we want to have. You know, and I, as weird as it seems in our industry of rough and tough, to stop and say, all right, that sucked. You know, the military says embrace the suck, right? You know, it really comes back to, you know, in developing good helpers, developing competent drillers is about embracing the suck and saying, I got your back. All right, you just dropped 9 F-bombs. And everybody is upset with you. Listen, we're going to treat people with respect. You know, this isn't the way we can talk to Gen Z, because they're not going to talk. There are no F-bombs in Minecraft, so stop dropping F-bombs. You know, but we can work together as a team, and we can work through it, because we don't quit jobs. We quit people. And that's, I can definitely tell you, we go back through my resume, and I'll tell you exactly who my quarrel or nemesis was at each past career. And it's petty to say that I can tell you who those people are, but the opportunity was there. The candidness was there. There was the moment of going, I'm probably going to leave soon. And then it happened. You know, so my bad days, quality of life. If I'm going to sacrifice my body, my family time and everything to go around the world and do this, I'm going to do it for somebody that appreciates that I'm doing it. And that's the big thing with the helpers. And that's what's cool about your guys' job is, you know, you have this big badass facility. You get to bring people in, and then, you know, there's that process of pre-apprentice, and like, I've got to be there during the, are you guys sure this is where you want to be? You know, and even sometimes where there's, you know, it looks like you may fit better at this group. Drilling companies don't have that option. You know, you're going to fit in the pumps group or the drilling group, or in reality, you're going to fit with everybody, or we're just going to have to figure out the next option, which is goodbye.
Well, you know, and a lot of that, when you have those on the drilling job, the leadership thing, there's not a lot you can do other than talk to that leader and see if they respond. If they don't, then you walk away is all you can do. But it's the same thing that I did in the field. If things got bad enough and we could get to a point we could, we still cut our losses for the day. But you know what? Today has been bad enough and you're at a point you can. You cut your losses, you walk away. Now you quit on the job site for the day. But I know Derek was like this. I was like this. I'm sure you were like this. If I walk away from that problem, I guarantee I'll be working my head at night. So the next day, I'm going to come back with a different angle to try to beat. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's either dirt, rock, or steel. And the last I checked, none of those can outsmart you. Right? They can't outsmart you. So you might have to take a little time to think about how you're going to beat them, but you can beat them.
So you're saying words on paper beat rock?
Well, depends if the rock is thrown. If the rock is thrown, it goes through the paper. But not words on paper, words in mind. Right? Words in mind, or ideas in mind that you can execute. And it might take you that following day a few extra minutes, or you say, hey, we're going to try this. We're going to set this up before we do anything to see if this works. That's gotten me out of a lot of jams that, you know, drilling, doesn't like you doing it. It's just how it is. It does, that hole doesn't want to be there. It doesn't want to be there, right? That's why we use drilling fluids and all the stuff that we use, because it doesn't want to be there. We have to outsmart it. We have to make sure that it wants. So maybe we set something up, or we have an idea that we want to try in order to get it there long enough that we can get our final product. And that's all it's really about. But I used to lay awake at night sometimes and think, how are we going to do this, or how are we going to do that? And it wasn't just when I was in the field, when the last job before I came here, you know, I was pushing six crews and I would lay awake. Okay. Yeah, they got this. Let me make. And because to me, like you said, I want to be able to present them the best way to, and they called with this problem. And sometimes the solution, and this is probably not always the right solution, sometimes the solution was me to go out there and physically work with them. Other times the solution was, okay, try this. Here, I have an idea. But on those problems, you never mention, hey, I need production. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Because that's when things are going to break. When they're having an issue, that's, you go, okay, step back. Because in the long run, you're going to get what production you can get if you get them through the jam. And, you know, that's the key to drilling. And that's really, we all don't admit it. That's the part of drilling we like, yeah. Right? That, I outsmarted you, right? I powered through, or I outthought it, or I did. I have a former helper of mine told me one time he was working for another company with a gentleman named Mark Baker. And he said, you know, I would love to see you and Mark Baker in a drill off. And Mark Baker has been drilling since I think Adam and Eve were around. But, and I said, oh yeah, really? He goes, cause you have opposite ways of doing everything, but you're both the best that I've worked with doing this. You are all technique and finesse, and we're going to do this, which is funny to say me finesse, but when it comes to drilling is how I approach things. And Mark is all old man strength and attitude. And I'm like, okay, you know, but he doesn't let things beat him. Whatever it takes, he's going to make. And we have everybody listening is that guy. It's what we like. It's what gets in your blood about this industry is that, you know, you feel, even if it's just in you, at the end of that rough day, and when you beat it finally, there's that sense of accomplishment. It comes back to that dignity I talked about, right? That's there. And once that creeps in, that's when you have that helper he wants to be for life. He gets that next step. He does. Now, is there a possibility he might leave and go somewhere else because, I don't know, he didn't get whatever Brock wanted. But, you know, that is – but really that's what it's in. And it works the same way. I've worked with Captain Fletcher. I've been around you guys with the Red Horse. Those guys, when they get out, they want, many of them, want to pursue this industry because, you know, it's got in their blood while they're there. And we can't discount that. That's part of it. You have to get someone to last long enough. Keep the carrot out in front of them long enough that they get to that point.
I don't think it's a carrot. And, you know, what Brock wanted, and it's funny because there's a two-year-old, Bo Yorty, and a lot of people know my nickname is Bo. And we had when we knew we were having a boy, I told my wife that she could name him Bo, Darth, or Optimus. Choose what you'd like. And she went with Bo. Which was, so now there's a real Bo Yorty, but I watch him in the relentlessness of what he goes after. And it's 2-year-old Bo and 40-year-old Brock want the same thing. And that's to solve things differently when the time is right and things aren't happening right. To be able to ask why not. And that's the, when the environment is right for that, for us to go, why not? And then we kick butt. And, you know, Dave, you said this a couple times about I've solved it. I've found it. I got the guys. We did it, you know, and it is 100% about the we aspect, you know. That's the separation of driller and helper and assistant and everybody in the field, including the admin team, is letting everybody be part of the success of the whole in an industry where we're very ego-driven. And we're, you know, we're ticking on this hour, so we'll have to do what we want a helper to learn for part four as well. And I think it's great. I think we bring Derek back. And I want to ask this to you, Derek. What is your advice when you have a family member, you have somebody coming into this looking for a job and you enjoy what you did? And then Dave, you say the same thing. You know, what is your elevator pitch to bring somebody in here?
Yeah, it's as rewarding as you make it. It's how much do you want to put into this game? You know,
sure.
Are you all in or you know, it's tough, but I'm not going to lie to anybody. It's tough. I'm not going to steer them the wrong way that, oh, you know, this is going to be gravy. You're going to make money. You're going to this, you know, it can't be just about making money. Everybody, the whole reason we're providing for our families, obviously, you know, and get pleasure out of that. But you also have to enjoy what you're doing. If you don't enjoy it, I've worked with some guys that were so unhappy that all they did was complain all day. I can't say that that's me. I enjoy it. I take every day on as a new challenge. And when it's not fun, it's time to move on. You can't keep doing this if it's not fun anymore, or if you're not enjoying it, you need a change, because you're kind of making everybody else miserable, you know, around you. It feeds off of it. Like you said before, you know, I've been with some guys that were running the crew who, when things were bad, it was their fault. And when things were good, I did this, you know, out of the guy that's in charge. And that's, hey, you know, you should build a team that's strong enough. Nobody knows who the leader really is, because you're just, like you said, like you guys said earlier, I've been on jobs where we didn't hardly talk all day, and so much got done. Wasn't that it just clicks. It just happens.
My elevator pitch for someone coming into this thing, right, is that if you ever wanted to have something that would give you a sense of accomplishment, this will do it. Right? This will do it. But the caveat to that is you will work for it. There is no way around it. You'll work for it to get that sense, but it's there for you. It's there for you. You look on Facebook on the Waterwell page. On occasion, we go on there. But you'll see, you know, the occasional post, or, hey, you know, today on I had a two well Friday or whatever. That's what that's about, right? That he was, I don't know who the gentleman was. Someone I knew. But he was – had accomplishment that he had went out, he had accomplished two viable water wells on that day for two residents, and, you know, was happy about it. That's what this will do. Not every job, I've never done it, but if I was out there and I'm going to have to hand you a report on a piece of paper, which I do kind of do that with some of the things I do on the teaching side. But if, well, I'm going to hand you a report on this or a banking thing on that, where's the accomplishment? Where's the hey, I did that. Just like, you know, I drive around the country. Hey, I drilled here and I, mm-hmm. Oh, I do, you know, we're on a vacation. I'm six states away and I go, oh, hey, you know what? That didn't used to be there. I drilled in that field, and that's, you know, what. And she's like, really? We can't go anywhere? Right? But that's what it is. And I think that's a common thing on most of our industry, is that sense of accomplishment. Derek said, when you show up, There's nothing there. When you leave, they're getting water out of the ground. If that's what you showed up to do. If you hit an artesian and you weren't there to do that, that's a bad thing. But that sense of accomplishment leads people into careers that maybe they never wanted, right? It led you from being a theater major to doing what you're doing because you got, my older brother, that's not my problem. It's not my, that's him. A summer of that, and you said it yourself. Hey, we can do one more. It's that sense of accomplishment. For me, it was getting out and being that sense of responsibility that someone said, hey, I'm going to turn you loose with all this stuff. And like we talked before, not a whole lot of training involved, but I'm going to turn you loose with all this stuff. And I believe you can make us money and you can make this company viable. You can help us be sustained. And that to me meant a lot. And it's what led to this becoming a career.
I think that's the accomplishment and leading to this. We need to tell, I always appreciated this industry because of the stories that I got to learn at the kitchen table from my dad and my grandfather and whatnot. I always said this industry wouldn't define me. I would do something else. Now, every young man, young woman that comes to me and asks what should I do or why would I want to be part of the water industry? And I say, we're 10 years away from 10 and a half billion people on this planet. And every sign points at we're going to need water and resources, and all the people that are the curmudgeons right now in this industry that aren't helping develop it. And there's a lot of them, especially on social media. They won't be around when they really needed to be. They got to be here during the easy time. And the next 50, 75 years is going to be a big deal. And so it's no longer a pitch as it is. You want to be part of contributing majorly to civilization, be part of drilling, because geotechnical resources, water, cathodic, geothermal, short of going and colonizing the moon or Mars, you're not going to make a bigger impact, and that's what it comes to. I believe we're going to have to come back and do more on helpers, maybe bring Derek back some more. This has been a great hour plus. Thank you, Derek, for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Dave, I appreciate the insight and knowledge you drop. We should shout out, and it's going to be part of the credits there, but Dave's son and band is where our intro comes from. And Dave, what's your son's band's name?
Far Under.
What's the name of the song?
They're working on their first album. I actually don't know what the name of the song is going to be because what we play, it was his idea for the song. They're a hard rock band. It will not sound on the album the way it sounds at our intro. So it'll be interesting. And if when their album comes out, maybe we'll play on an outro. We'll play the song in the hard rock version once we have that. But as of this moment, they're about 75% done. COVID put a big delay on them. But when he will actually allow me to have it, right now he won't allow me to have it. He was angry with me for talking him into letting us have what we got. So once that is available to us, we'll play it as an outro, and it'll be fun to kind of see what the difference is.
Absolutely, and that's the only hard rock we really want to have in this drilling podcast, so that's all right.
That's right.
Only all hard right. Rock. Let's all have a great weekend. Thank you again, Derek. as always, thanks, Dave. And we'll do another one of these. So appreciate everybody listening. And you got anything else, Dave?
Just everyone be safe. And that's it. Right? Everybody be safe. Come home every day with all your pieces and parts in place. And that'll allow you to hopefully listen again.
Perfect. Thanks, everyone.